It's a history-making decision in this country.
A Supreme Court ruling announced minutes ago
legalizing same-sex marriage across the land.
10 years later.
10 years after the Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriage across the United States, it could now be overturned.
What actually happened? What did the Supreme Court do? Well, we can start with what they didn't do. They did not give homosexuals a right to get married. That is not what happened. Same-sex marriage is what happened, and there's a difference, and it's really important that we understand this difference. Okay, gay people have always been allowed to get married, but people of the same gender have never been allowed to get married. The issue is not gay marriage. That's why I try to be careful to not say gay marriage, or say it as little as I can, and say same-sex marriage, because that's the actual issue. For instance, if a gay man and a gay woman said, I want to get married for whatever reason, they're allowed to get married. If a straight man and a gay woman want to get married, they can get married. The state has no interest in their sexual orientation opinions. It's just that they're opposite sex. That's what marriage is. Similarly, with this new law being passed and new views, this means that two straight men could also get married. It's not about gay and straight. It's about gender. What the Supreme Court did was they redefined marriage. And they know this. That's why they said we're redefining marriage. They redefined marriage to include same-sex relationships. Marriage, however, is not a legal convention. It was discovered, not defined, in the first place. It's according to our physical design and nature. And even if you're not, if you don't believe in God, then it was based on our evolution, if you will. So redefining it when it's not, It's not a civil institution. It's merely acknowledged with a civil institution, but it's not in and of itself merely an institution invented by men. Well, Justice Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion, these five lawyers, there were five on one side, four on the other, four who disagreed, dissented, and they wrote the minority, you know, opinion. Then we have the majority opinion written by Justice Kennedy. He gave four justifications in the majority opinion, four reasons why they're going to redefine marriage to include same-sex marriage. And one of them is this: marrying whoever you want to is a right. Well, okay, but how does that make redefining marriage? That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, we can approach this from two sides. There's the philosophical argument, the logical, and we're going to go through that right now, or the legal thing. The legal thing is that you're not supposed to legislate from the bench. You're not supposed to make laws as a Supreme Court. Your only job is interpreting the law accurately, not reinterpreting it to mean new things, which is what happened. So that's actually what most of the opinion against them was about. They're saying this is illegal. You can't, as a Supreme Court, do this. It's not your job. We're not the Congress. We don't legislate. We don't make laws. We simply interpret. We just go, is this constitutional? Is it not? We just echo and repeat whatever the Constitution has already said, but they've done something else. So that's the legal thing against it, but I want to approach the philosophical or the logical stuff that they said. So marrying who you choose is a right. Well, that's true-ish, but it's also irrelevant. We don't call that marriage for the same reason we don't call a square a circle. So marrying who you want to is a right, but there are still restrictions on who you can marry. For instance, you can't marry somebody who is already married. You can't. The state's like, sorry, we won't give you the license. You're already married. You can't marry people if they're your parent. You can't marry anyone you choose. That's not really how it works. This is just like wrong. It's wrong-headed. You can't marry people if they're a person of the same sex. And before you think that's so wacko, can I say this, that in the majority of states across the country, there are laws, state laws, that have been passed against marrying first cousins. You can't just marry anybody you choose because of the interest of all the same reasons that were talked about earlier. You can't do that. And then number two, his second reason for saying we should redefine marriage is because marriage is unique and wonderful to the married couple. True. Marriage is unique and wonderful to the married couple. So the implication is that you're telling gay people that they can't have this unique and wonderful thing. Yes, you can. You just can't have it with someone of the same sex because that's not what marriage is. It's never been that. This is sort of like an appeal to emotion. However, our Supreme Court should not be making laws at all, let alone because of appeals to emotion. It's crazy. Number three. Marriage safeguards children and families. Yeah, it does. Marriage safeguards children and families. Yet we've seen, and these statistics are available to them as well, that homosexual relationships do not safeguard children and families. First off, they can't produce children. So for every couple that gets married and stays together, there's the lack of propagation of the species in those individuals. So there's no children now because of this. But secondly, the kids raised in same-sex homes are demonstrably worse off than the kids who are raised in biological parenting homes. And so there's legitimate differences. So yeah, for this reason, for number three, the fact that marriage safeguards children and family is why we shouldn't mess with it. Number four, marriage is a keystone of our social order. There you go. In other words, marriage is extremely important to society. So why are we redefining it? If it's so important, why are we changing it? This means it should be respected, not redefined. Now, one of the only other things that they do is they say marriage has evolved over time. And it, as well as acknowledging marriage, it's always been heterosexual and it's always been this way. But then they sort of flip-flop and they say, well, it's evolved over time. Marriage has not always been heterosexual. Couples, just one and one. Sometimes there was polygamy. Sometimes there was arranged marriages. And so they speak to the plasticity of marriage or the changeability of it. And so therefore, we're just changing it. Except that these examples, polygamy and arranged marriages, are not about the essence of marriage, are they? Because in polygamy, you have multiple one and one heterosexual couplings. In arranged marriages, we're just talking about how you met. That's like saying online dating makes new marriages. It's just how you get it, how you get together. And even nowadays, even in India, there's still arranged marriages, which are not probably as bad as some people make them out to be, because Disney movies, it's always like, I'm going to pick the ugliest, meanest, fattest person around and you have to marry them. And no, but I want to marry who I love, you know, and then it ends up with Aladdin and stuff. So that's nice. But this is not probably, I mean, a loving parent is not going to, you know, select for their daughter the worst possible candidate they can find. You know, like, well, I don't know, do you beat your wife? Will you beat her? You're the guy. You know, I mean, this is not probably the way it is. And then the issue of polygamy, I mean, we see originally marriage in the garden. We see marriage, one man, one woman. Polygamy crops up later, and society keeps rejecting it. It comes up, we reject it. It comes up, we reject it. It comes up, we reject it. But the essence of marriage has never changed. So it's philosophically wrong. It's legally wrong, because it's not their job to make new rights based on what they think the law should be, but rather to simply say what the law is. It also goes against the will of the people. Literally, 5 unelected lawyers just made new laws for our country. And it is a genuine slippery slope. I haven't even got into the philosophical idea that genuinely, for the same principles that we accept, if people accept same-sex marriage, we have to accept incest and potentially things like necrophilia. Like, can you think of a reason not to have necrophilia based on the same philosophy? Hey, but what if there's in the will, it says, hey, I'm okay if they do this to me after I die, because my husband, we love each other and we're consenting and we're adults. And we're like, no, it's unnatural, it's unhealthy, and it's just morally wrong. But those are no longer reasons to say something's wrong anymore. And you're the bad person if you want to help keep people from harm and stuff like that. So I think the bottom line is, if we care about and love our gay friends and family for their sakes, for their health, for their spiritual life, that we will try to tactfully and carefully confront them on these issues. And when we're engaging in the public square, we will really try and change public opinion. And it may be a losing battle, but I'll tell you what, that should never stop you from fighting the right fight. Losing or winning, we're just called to fight. We're not, the results are not up to us. And so maybe I'm the guy in California, the only guy that votes for so-and-so and he doesn't get into office. But you know what, when I go to heaven, I'm like, well, I know my vote was for that guy. You know, so it wasn't my fault. You know, we are called to be watchmen on the wall and to speak the truth in love. Yeah.